the Apostle Paul told the church at Philippi to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You know, I've often found myself asking the question, how is that possible? How is it possible that we can rejoice all the time? In all situations, how can we rejoice? What I've come to realize is that the answer to that question is in two ways. There are two ways that we can rejoice in the Lord, but when it comes down to it, it is the same answer. You see, it's easy to rejoice when things are going well. The birth of a healthy child, a promotion at work, a raise, an unexpected visit from an old friend. It's easy to rejoice in those times. The hard part comes when you're called to rejoice in the flip side. The loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, an unexpected illness, having to take a pay cut just to keep working. Yet Paul says in all of those things we're supposed to rejoice. So how do we rejoice in all things? Well, I found that the answer to be the same as the job of a mirror. A mirror is called to give a true reflection of what's in front of it. We too are called to reflect what we see of God honestly back to Him. We're called to worship. Worship is to see what God has done and to praise Him in response to who He is and or what He has done. Worship is thus the reflection of God's love. And how can we rejoice in the Lord always? We rejoice through worship. As we consider worship this morning, I want to turn our conversation to the conversation that Jesus had about worship. And so this morning, would you join me at John chapter 4, beginning at verse 19? Because here, as we look at this passage of Scripture, John records for us an encounter that Jesus has with a woman from Samaria at a well. And this woman, when things begin to get uncomfortable, when with Jesus talking about who she is and about her life, Jesus turns the conversation, or this woman turns the conversation from herself to worship. This is what Paul records, beginning in verse 19. He says, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and your people say that in Jerusalem is the place men ought to worship.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshippers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.' The woman said to Him, 'I know that the Messiah is coming, He who is called the Christ. When that one comes, we will declare all things, or He will declare all things to us.' Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am He.' As I was thinking about the things that make the church effective, the things that help us as a body of believers to be who God called us to be, as I thought about those things that we have to focus on, that we have to make important as we gather together, the last of those things that came to my mind was the act of worship. And so this morning as we look at this, I want to look at worship. Because if we're going to be effective, we must worship well. And so this morning, I'm going to say to that end, we're going to call you to worship, and we're going to equip you to worship. We're going to call and we're going to equip you as believers in Christ to worship. That is part of what we are doing as a body of Christ. And I think that's what Jesus is telling this woman here, is that it doesn't matter where we worship, but it matters how. And Jesus is giving her the instruction, and it begins with the call. You see, the first thing that we have to understand if we're going to worship effectively is we have to understand the call to worship. You see, it's easy to come in on Sunday morning and say we're going to do some praise and worship, and so we're going to get up and we're going to sing some songs that sound good. The thing is that is not in and of itself worship. And just coming to church, just the fact that we open the door and invite you in, is not simply a call to worship. But the call to worship comes in several steps, and the first of those is it begins with teaching. You see, Jesus is talking to this woman, and you notice how he talks about worship, but he ends the conversation not with, "This is how you do it correctly," but, "This is who I am." She let the woman take the conversation and point out that they were expecting the prophet, and Jesus says, "Yes, I am him. I am he who you speak of. I am the one that you've been looking for." And if we're going to worship God, it begins with us teaching you about God. And so some of the things that we're going to do is we're going to point you in the direction and give you a picture of who God is. And so we're going to preach sermons that talk about God. We're going to talk about who He is. We're going to talk about His faithfulness. We're going to talk about what He calls us to be. We're going to preach to you about God, and we're going to do that unashamedly. Because we're called to worship God, and the only way we can worship Him is if we begin to get a true picture of who He is. And one of the ways that we do that is through the sermon. But we're also going to do it in other ways. You know, this morning Duffy, he was painting a picture. Well, actually he was painting a picture of a picture of a picture. Because God showed Himself to us in Christ, and part of what Christ did is He showed us Himself, and He showed us God's perfect peace in the storms on the sea. And then Rembrandt chose to paint that scene, and so Duffy shared with us the picture of a picture of a picture. But when we come together on Sunday mornings, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to come around the Lord's table and share in communion. And before we partake of communion, we're going to turn your thoughts and your hearts and your minds towards God. And we're going to teach something about who God is. And hopefully as we sing, part of singing is reflecting back to God the things that we know about Him. But have you ever stopped to think that sometimes the things that we know have been taught to us in song? That there are things that we probably learned as young children first in song, and then we began to put the pieces together later with what the songs were teaching us. And one of the first songs I used to love to sing, I went to a really small church, and every Sunday we would just pick favorites out of the hymnal. And we had a guy in our church that could play almost any song you wanted. probably every song in the hymnal, and we would just pick a song from the hymnal. And we would sing those songs. And every week I would try to pick number 96 from our hymnal. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And I love that song, but you know what? It wasn't until years later that I began to realize that what that song was talking about, really, truthfully, honestly talking about, was the fact that Jesus became one of us to show us God's love. I knew the song well, and I could sing it by heart. I can't quite so much anymore, but I love the song still. But it was teaching it, and we try to be wise about the songs that we sing to make sure that the theology lines up with the Scriptures and that they're teaching us something about who God is. And so we're going to call you to worship, first of all, by giving you a picture of who God is, because if worship is like a mirror and we're reflecting back to God the picture of God that is before us, we have to know about God. And so we're going to call you to worship by teaching you about God. We're going to call you to worship by asking you to participate. We're going to ask you to participate. Because part of the call is simply giving you the invitation. Telling you that it's okay to worship. Because sometimes we have to be told it's okay to do something before we really get involved in it. And so we're going to ask you to participate, especially when you come in on Sunday morning. We're going to ask you to participate in several different ways. We're going to ask you to participate by singing. Now, I know some of you will say, I don't sing very well. It's okay. Scripture only says that we're supposed to make a joyful noise. You know, some of us can sing pretty well. Some of us couldn't carry a tune in a bucket if it had the lid on it. And most of us fall somewhere in between. But we all are offered the opportunity to sing. And I realize some of you don't feel comfortable singing. But at least be reading the words and thinking about what it is that we're saying. As we reflect on what God is doing, on who God is, we're going to ask you to participate in that. We're going to ask you to participate in communion. The Apostle Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians, he says that every time we come around the table, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that when you are taking the emblems, when you take the broken bread and you take the juice and you take those and you partake of those emblems, what you're saying to yourself and what you're saying to everyone around you is that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the price for my sins. Jesus Christ came to take the punishment of the sins that I deserve. And every week you are participating in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with the bread and the juice to everyone else who's here. And so we're going to ask you to participate in showing the world who God is and what God has done. We're going to call you to worship and to participate in telling the world about the faithfulness of God as we pass the offering plates. As we take a moment to say, God is faithful to provide for my needs and has asked me to trust Him enough with those gifts, those provisions, that I give part of them back. And every Sunday we're telling the world about the faithfulness of God as we pass the offering plates and we take an opportunity to give. And we're going to call you to participate and call you to proclaim the message as we spend time in prayer and praise. Because here's the thing, what we're saying to one another is that we believe that God is able and God is willing and God is listening and God is desiring to meet and to take care of us if we will release Him and give Him the opportunity to do that in our lives. And so we share the needs of life with Him and just ask Him to work in our lives and the lives of others. And so we share in prayer. But then on the flip side of it, when we see God at work and we see what God is doing and we see what God has done, we take that moment to offer praise back to God, which says to the looking world and says to other people, it says, see, here is an opportunity that God took and God was faithful to provide for this need in His own way. And we praise God. And so we're going to call you and we're going to ask you to participate. And then we're going to call you and ask you to participate in worshiping in your own daily life. Because it isn't just here. And here's what I know. Our corporate times of worship will never overpower our personal times of worship. Our corporate times of worship will never overpower our personal times of worship. You will never get more out of a Sunday morning worship time joining together with brothers and sisters in Christ than what you are willing to put into it ahead of time. You know, people will come to church and say, I didn't get anything out of it. The first question we should ask them is, what did you put into it? What did you do in preparation? What have you done the last week? What have you done to really make sure that you are ready to worship with brothers and sisters in Christ before you came into this place? Because our personal experience in corporate worship will never overpower our personal times of worship. And so we're going to call you and we're going to ask you to worship personally. And first we're going to do that by just asking you to pay attention to your own life and recognize what it is that God is doing, what God has done, and who He is. That's why sometimes you'll hear me encourage you to just make it a habit of setting aside some time to worship God through personal Scripture reading, through a personal devotion time. Because here's what I know. The only way that you can really see who God is if you're spending time in His Word. And if you want to gain something out of this time together, you have to be in this on your own. And so I'm going to encourage you, and we're going to encourage you to recognize who God is and what He's doing. And we're going to ask you and encourage you to just look at your own life and see what God is doing in it. Because here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. He says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God causes all things to work together for good. He doesn't cause all things, but He uses all things for His good and for our good if we let Him. And so we're going to encourage you just to look at the things of your life and just ask, how is God using this? How has God been faithful in the past? How is God being faithful now through my circumstances? You know, this isn't something new with me. If you just look back to the Old Testament and you read the book of Psalms, what you're going to find is the book of Psalms is filled with different things. But the one thing that the psalmists always do is reflect on who God is, what He's doing, or what He's done. And so sometimes you come to the book of Psalms and you come to the Psalms of praise. The Psalms that are filled with just recognition of what God has done and praising Him for who He is. And so you read Psalms like the 150th that are just chock full of hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And you have the Psalms of praise, but on the flip side of that, you've got the Psalms of lament. You've got the Psalms where the psalmist is looking at his situation and the psalmist says, man, life stinks. Everything is falling apart, and God, it doesn't look like You're here doing anything. God, where are You? God, why aren't You listening to me? God, I need You now. And the psalmists are just laying out before God the pain and the hurt of life. And almost without exception, the Psalms of Lament end with the call of God's faithfulness. They say, God, this is how bad life is, but I know I can trust You because of what You've done. And sometimes we just have to be brutally honest with God and say, God, I don't see what You're doing, and God, I don't like where I'm at. God, I know You're faithful, but man, it sure doesn't appear like it at the moment. God's okay with that. But we have to be worshiping God in our daily lives, and we're going to call you to do that. And you hear me regularly say, you know, singing is a great way to worship God. It's not the only means, and it's not the only thing you can do with singing, but singing is a great way to worship God. And so I'll encourage you to just sing, even if it's just in the shower where everybody sounds like a rock star or an opera star or whatever kind of music you like. Sometimes it's through prayer. We're going to encourage you to worship God through prayer. Maybe you're a poet and you just write some great poetry. I'm not. I mean, I can write poetry, but it's not great. Once in a while, I have some brilliant streak of imagination, but that's not my calling. But maybe you can. Or maybe you're an artist and you like to draw or you like to paint and you just begin to look at your creation. Or maybe, I don't know if you're on Facebook, but if you are and you're friends with Tom, you notice lately he's been using one of his passions in worshiping God through just photography. It's a form of art, and you can worship God that way as you reflect on His creation and just look at how He's created life. But whatever it is, we're going to continue to call you to worship God in your daily life. And Jesus was talking to this woman and He said, woman, it doesn't matter where you worship. It matters how you worship. And so we're going to call you to worship. But Jesus also equips her. Because He doesn't just say, woman, it doesn't matter where you worship, but He says, you worship in spirit and in truth. And I've looked at that and I've thought about that and I've prayed about that and I've tried to understand, what does it mean that we worship God in spirit and truth? And what I came down to is this, is it really comes back to the fact that if we're going to worship God, we're just looking, we're the mirror that God is looking in, and we're going to reflect back to God what's coming at us. And Jesus began to equip her to really be able to honestly worship. And we're going to teach you, we're going to equip you, and we're going to do that by beginning to teach you about worship. We're going to teach you what it means to really worship. What is worship? Because, you know, so often we look at worship and we think about worship as singing. And that's so incomplete. That's like me asking you, or you asking me to describe you and tell somebody who you are. And so I talk about the color and the length of your hair. And that's all I do. You know, she has really nice black hair. It shines like the feathers of a raven. And when the light catches it, there's just a hint maybe of some purple in it. It's not that she's colored it. It's just that it, when it catches the light just right, that sheen makes it look a little purple. And
and it's long. It's about shoulder length and curlier than curly. It's amazing. Her hair is just amazing. Isn't she a wonderful person? And you look at me and you say, what? Is that all you're going to tell me about her? Tell me about her smile. Tell me about how high, tall she is. Tell me about the things that she likes. Tell me about the places that she likes to go. Tell me about her, not just her hair. And if we come in and we talk about worship and all we ever talk about is singing, you know nothing about worship. Yeah, worship is one, or singing is one aspect of worship. But have you ever stopped to think about the fact that singing in itself contains several aspects of worship? There was somebody who was reflecting on what God was doing, and as they were reflecting on what God was doing, something welled up within them, and their imagination poured forth these words that said, God, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I know about you today. And they penned some words. And maybe they, or maybe somebody else, was looking at those words and said, I've got this tune in my head. And it reflects something of what I understand about God. And the order and the tension of love and mercy, the tension of justice and holiness. And they begin to think about who God is. And they may not even put it that way, but they put those words and that tune together, and pretty soon this song is formed. And so somebody else stands up and they teach it to you, and they're teaching you about God. And then you begin to learn the song, and you begin to learn about God, and you sing it, and you're teaching other people about God. And so singing, yes, it's a part of worship, but it's not the only thing. Worship is about knowing God. Worship is about knowing brothers and sisters in Christ who are created in the image of God, who God wants us to love and to care for. Worship is about knowing that there are needs that need to be taken care of, and so we give of the gifts that God has blessed us over abundantly with. And sometimes those gifts are financial, and sometimes they're physical, and sometimes they're just our being there. And so we're going to teach you about worship and try over and over to teach you about what worship is as we worship together. And then we're going to answer the question, how do we do it? We're going to equip you to worship. We're going to equip you to worship sometimes through teaching, but other times we're going to equip you to worship by doing it together corporately. Because sometimes people learn best by doing something. Some people learn by listening. Some people learn by reading. But some people learn by doing. And here's what I know, is that if you can incorporate two of those three together, people learn better. And so sometimes we're going to show you what it looks like to worship. And we're going to do that in several ways. When we gather every week together to worship, we're going to worship in several different ways. We're going to show you and equip you and help you understand how to worship in several different ways. And so every week we put the Scripture before you. Sometimes it's the call to worship at the beginning of the service, when we say, this is the Word of God. Sometimes it's a passage at communion. Sometimes it's the Scripture that we use for worshiping. But every time we're going to teach you about what it is to worship God through Scripture. We're going to worship God and give you the opportunity and show you prayer. As we pray together. And what you're going to notice, if you're paying attention week after week, different men come up and lead us in our time of prayer and praise, but you know what? Every one of them prays differently. Because God hasn't just said, this is the one prayer. Now, I'll admit, when Jesus' disciples said, teach us how to pray, Jesus said, this is the model. And He taught them the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so we learn how to pray. And we're going to come together and we're going to pray. And we're going to pray in different ways. But it's all a part of teaching you and showing you and asking you to be a part of corporate worship, to worship with us. Yes, sometimes we're going to worship and we're going to help you as we worship together and we corporately worship together in music. We sing some songs every Sunday. What would you do if you came in though one Sunday and we just didn't sing any songs? What would you do if I just didn't preach? Well, Ed might celebrate, but other than that, because if I didn't preach, Ed, I wouldn't preach too long, right? Yeah. Hey, you didn't leave soon enough. You got to stay now. But we're also going to teach you and show you worship through the Word. We're going to show you worship through the Word and try to help you to learn to worship as you study the Scriptures, as you see God in the Scriptures, and through acting out through communion, through acting the story, as we take the cup and we take the bread and we say, Jesus Christ died for my sins. He was buried in the grave and He rose to pay the forgiveness, or He rose to show that He was the Messiah, the chosen one of God. And we proclaim His death, burial, and resurrection until He comes. We're going to teach you the story and give you the opportunity to show others. And so as we teach you and we ask you to participate, we're giving you an opportunity and equipping you to worship. You see, these aren't just things that we do because they're a habit. And we want you to understand it's not just a formality. It is part of worshiping God, and we're going to teach you about that. And we're going to give you the opportunity to do it and so that you can carry that forward. And we're going to help you worship as we connect you with other people. We're going to equip you to worship through connection. You see, one of the things that Scripture says is that we're a body of believers. We are one. We are supposed to be together. And so as we do that, here's the different ways that that equips you to worship. One, you get to see how God is working in the lives of others. You get to see God at work. And that helps us to worship. But here's another thing. It also helps us to worship as we see God at work in the lives of others, but also as we see them go through some downtimes in their lives, we get to encourage them. Or the flip side of that is sometimes they can encourage us. And we become the avenue that God uses to encourage other people. And that is an act of worship. And we're going to connect you with others so that you can study the Word together. So that other people can give you the insights that they've gained, and you can share the insights that you're gaining, and you can ask each other questions, and you can say, we're growing together. We're going to encourage you and we're going to equip you with the opportunities to do that, but we're also going to connect you with one another. There's one more way that we're going to equip you to worship God. There's one more way that we're going to call you to worship God, and that is through the act of entering His kingdom through the waters of baptism. You see, Scriptures teach that God has provided a way for His people to come into the kingdom. And that is as we portray the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism. And as we portray His death, burial, and resurrection, we also die to our old self. We're buried with Him, and we are raised to walk in a newness of life. And so we're going to call you to enter into the kingdom of God. And every week I'm going to offer an invitation. Even if the rest of the world says that it's outdated and outmoded, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come and to begin your life in the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to call you, but we're also going to equip you by giving you the opportunity. I'll tell you, if you come this morning, it'll take us 20 minutes or so and the baptistry will be full. And you can go through that process today. We're going to give you that opportunity. And we're going to do it every week. Because there is one person or two people that need to know and need to respond. And until Jesus Christ comes, there will always be people who need to respond. And so we're always going to give you the call and the equipping to worship God in that manner. This morning, we're going to worship together. We're going to sing one more song as we worship together this morning. And this morning, if you need to worship God through the act of baptism, I'd love for you to come and we'll begin that process. If you just need to ask some questions about what that means and what that looks like to enter into the kingdom of God, I'd love to visit with you about that as well. This morning, if you need somebody to worship with you and pray for you or visit about some area of your life, myself or the elders would love to do that. You just catch one of us after we get done worshiping in song this morning. Let's stand together as we sing and worship our great and mighty God.